So hey there, friends, and welcome to this episode of Self-Kind with me, Erica Webb. Today I am talking about how to encourage the other adults in your life to be kind to themselves without coming across as righteous or kind of any of those icky things that we'd rather avoid.
Hi, and welcome to Self-Kind with me, Erica Webb. This is a podcast about what it means to be, live, and move through a lens of self-kindness. We'll look at the ways self-kindness can underpin our practices in movement, mindfulness, and mindset to support us to be and do the things we so desire in the world. I'm thrilled you're here. Let's get into the show.
So this week's topic comes from another question, and I'm really grateful for those coming through. So thank you. You know exactly who you are. And the question was around how to encourage other adults in our lives to be kind to themselves, but without coming across as being like a righteous person or, you know, better than them or knowing, you know, more, all of that sort of stuff. And it's an interesting one. And I've spent a little bit of time pondering this because I'm really mindful of that, even in my line of work, of really sort of having an entire brand that is centered around this idea of being kind to oneself and how within that, there is this desire not to shame anyone if self-kindness feels hard, unavailable, unfamiliar. And so I think this is a great question because, yeah, how do we encourage other people to do something that feels really supportive to us without coming across as righteous or a bit of a know-it-all? And I think we've all experienced being on one or the other of those sides, right? I've certainly been the receiver of information like that and felt a bit crap about it and being like, well, what do you know? You don't know anything about my life. And so it can be the well-meaning advice to try yoga or journaling or self-compassion or running or anything that has helped somebody else. Sometimes when we offer that to others, it can be perceived as righteous. It can be perceived as pushy. And so how do we do that when it comes to self-kindness and we see the people around us that we love, perhaps not treating themselves kindly or speaking to themselves kindly, and we want that for them, right? So I have a few ideas and perhaps not a direct answer to the question, but I hope that it will be supportive nonetheless. I sort of said before that, you know, one of the goals is not to induce shame. And that's always a risk, right? Humans, it's inherent that we will experience shame. Shame kind of exists in that in-between place where we think that we should be able to live up to a particular standard and then we don't. We feel like we've, you know, missed the mark somehow. So in this example, if I was to say to you, you know, you just need to be kind to yourself. It's not that hard. And you're sitting there thinking it's the hardest thing in the world, but should I be able to do this? Maybe I'm broken, right? And so we want to avoid inducing shame, which isn't always within our control because it's kind of an inside job, right? But there's certainly ways that we can minimize that risk. And I think it's that, right? It's not suggesting to people that it's easy to be kind, to be self-kind, because it's not always. And so I almost want to circumvent this idea of like giving the advice to be kind and offer you an alternative. Now, I do often, you know, offer people the advice of being kind to themselves. And I need to think a little bit more about how I deliver on that to sort of get a sense of the how. But I do think that there is something else that can perhaps be a little bit more helpful and can certainly lay the foundation of this notion of self-kindness. And that is to be the self-kind voice for them. So what does that mean? When we talk about self-compassion, let's go broad here, broader, because self-kindness is an element of self-compassion. But when we talk about self-compassion, often the way that, you know, I would describe this or other people in this world would describe this is to say, you know, imagine how you would support a friend and how you would speak to them And that often gives us a doorway into compassion because it's kind of more of our default with the people that we love. We offer them kindness even when they're in pain. And that is really what self-compassion asks of us, to still offer ourselves kindness and love and respect in the midst of challenge. And so it can be a really helpful thing to simply offer that to the people that we see not being able to offer it to themselves, right? And so this idea of like, how would you speak to a friend? How would you speak to your best friend? How would you speak to somebody that you love? You just do that, right? And it might be that it's, you know, sort of that conversation of like, I can see that you're really struggling with this. I can see that you're having a hard time being kind to yourself. And I just want to remind you how loved you are and that I think you're doing an incredible job. I think that you're doing an incredible job. And yes, there's some challenges, but you are, you know, you're doing it, or, you know, it's kind of hard to do that without an example, but that idea of like, even though this is hard, even though you feel like you are failing or not measuring up or not doing enough, here's what I see. And here's the kindness that and compassion that I want to offer you. And that can be enough sometimes to open the possibility that that is available. Sometimes we have to hear it from someone else before we're willing to believe that we're worthy of it. But if somebody that you love can love you in the midst of your suffering, then it opens up a crack of like, huh, maybe I can do that for myself as well. And it might not be a conscious thought, but your voice can support them to become their own inner voice as well. And that's certainly been my experience. You know, I talk about self-compassion and self-kindness all the time. And even back, you know, 10 years ago, when I was teaching kind of a lot more in-person classes, students would come up to me and say, you know, your voice has become mine. Like, I've got your voice in my head reminding me to be kind. And I don't really remember exactly how I messaged that in my classes all those years ago, but there was always this undercurrent of like, you know, meet yourself there, meet yourself where there is that kindness and that compassion, and recognize that you're doing your best, like all humans are. And it does kind of support those around us to start to internalize that message for themselves without us having to be pushy or righteous or, you know, a know-it-all. And depending on the relationship, right? Like, it sort of depends, I think, sometimes on who we're talking about and what our relationship with them is. Sometimes our fear of coming across as righteous is going to be ours, right? Like, that's going to be something that we are just sensitive to or worried about because we don't want to be perceived as that kind of person. But there's also a chance that we're not being perceived like that at all. And so a gentle like, hey, you know, you really are trying your best. I hope you can be kind to yourself here. Might feel like an appropriate connection point. But I do think that it is useful to offer them the words that you would use compassionately towards them first. And then, you know, to be able to say like, I would love for you to be able to find that kindness and compassion for yourself as well, because you really are trying your best and you're so loved, you know? So I think that the fear of coming across as righteous or a know-it-all can sometimes stop us from having conversations with people that we love because we don't want to be, you know, that person. But I do think that there's ways that we can engage in those conversations that really do come from a place of love. And I think if we avoid words like should, it goes a long way, because as soon as we say should to ourselves or someone else, we are suggesting to them or to us that there is something that we should be able to do that we're not doing. And that is the shame-inducing stuff, right? So if I should be able to be kind to myself and I'm not, then I'm just going to feel worse than when I began. Whereas if there's this kind of like suggestion of, hey, like, you know, could you see the opportunity here to be kinder to you, towards yourself? That's a very different invitation than, hey, you should just be kind to yourself. It makes it sound easy when it's often not, and it makes it sound flippant when it's kind of, you know, so much deeper than that. And again, it implies a sense that there is some way you're not measuring up. And when someone is struggling to offer themselves kindness or compassion, they already don't feel like they measure up, right? That's the whole thing, is that we don't feel like we measure up. And so to have it laid on of like, well, you should also be able to be self-kind and I can't. And so look, here's another way that I'm failing. Like, oh, what a spiral, right? It doesn't feel very good. And so I would, and I've kind of gone over this a few times in my head thinking like, yeah, what are the words? But I think so much of this is, can you be the compassion in those scenarios? Can you be the kindness? Opening that doorway for them to see, ah, I am still loved in the midst of this. And then perhaps there is a little opening to invite them to see that, you know, to kind of have that conversation with themselves as well. But maybe it's not available in the moment. Maybe they just simply need to borrow yours, right? Like to borrow your kindness for them, to borrow your compassion for them, to feel that sense of I am receiving this even in my struggles. So perhaps I am worthy, right? They might not articulate that in their thinking mind, but it's ultimately what's being portrayed. And so I think we can do a lot just simply by the way that we show up for the people that we love without asking them to do anything necessarily, and certainly without giving them a long string of shoulds, because nobody needs more of those. So I hope that's helpful. I'd love to hear from you, whether you ask the question or not. Does that feel supportive in terms of how to support the people around you to be more kind to themselves? And I would also say that we show this through the way that we offer ourselves kindness too, which is an ongoing pursuit, without a doubt. You know, I sometimes have these feelings of, I don't even know how I would describe them, these feelings of, I still struggle with these things myself sometimes. So what does that mean about me? And the answer I always come back with is it just means that I'm human. And so continuing to be vulnerable with each other, continuing to be honest with each other and with ourselves about the challenges around self-kindness and self-compassion, I think goes a long way too. Because I'm always trying to be self-kind. And yet there are days and times and circumstances where I find that really hard, and certain areas of my life where I find it harder than others. And so it's not a kind of like a destination that we get to and then we're done. It's this ongoing, you know, figuring out. It's an ongoing figuring out as we just keep living. And so how do we show each other that? How do we show each other that, hey, here's how I'm practicing self-kindness and compassion, even when it doesn't feel easy, even when it feels hard, even when I question my my worthiness in that? Because we will, because we're human. And we just keep trying and keep choosing in that direction. The last thing that I'll say about this as well is that how willing another person is to hear these messages is going to be completely outside of your control. And there will even be circumstances or situations where, you know, a seed just gets planted and then it's months or years down the track that it's like it lands, right? And so sometimes I think as friends and family to other people, loving other people, we want for them things that they're not ready to discover for themselves. And that sort of says a little bit more about us than them. And we need to be willing to hold our discomfort for ourselves as well without needing other people to do the things that we feel would be best for them, because they're their own human. And so this is something I know I absolutely struggle with. And it's something I think to come back to time and time again and be like, well, where do I offer sort of the support and the love, but also where is that that kind of boundary between me and this person? Because I can't control what they choose to do. I can only be here to support them. I can't control where they are in their willingness to consider this idea. And so it's not my job to jam it down anyone's throat. It's not my job to be the savior of all of these people around me by saying, here's the thing that you need. And it's funny, isn't it? Because I mean, in some ways, that's what I do. I get on this podcast every week and I say, here's a thing that I think is going to be helpful to all the people. But it's all offered from this place of, listen if this is helpful, don't listen if it's not. Take it if it's useful, leave it behind if it's not. I'm one person in a sea of millions, billions. And so we have to kind of just understand that as well, right? And so there's a, we're always in relationship with others. We're always in relationships. And so it's not just what, you know, it's not even that assessment of like, am I being righteous? It's not alone going to be what you do or say that determines that. You know, it's going to be what happens in the midst of that relationship. So that was a lot of words, a lot of thoughts. Let me know what lands. Let me know if it brings up questions. Let me know if it's helpful. I would love to hear from you. Until next week, keep being kind to yourself if that feels supportive.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Self Kind. If you loved it, why not share it? And while you're there, take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show. I'd love you to come hang out with me more too. You'll find me over on Instagram at ericaweb_selfkind. And you can sign up for my e-newsletter by heading to my website, ericaweb.com.au. While you're there, you can also read up more about the Self Kind Hub and other ways of working with me. Until next time, keep being kind to yourself. Bye.